This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The Center for Disease Control's National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health released a study last month on the largest cluster of complicated black lung cases ever reported. Carol Lofton spoke with WVU School of Public Health physicians Carl Wernz and Anna Allen about the study and what it means for West Virginia.
We actually have been noticing this trend over the last about 18 years that it has been going back up. And I think this might have just been the study that captured it in the big picture.
So yeah, and that kind of goes with my next question. I mean, do you think the numbers represented are accurate or are they low? Are you seeing a spike in this in your own practices?
It's a geographic thing. We see patients for black lung evaluations both here in Morgantown and also down in Cabin Creek, down a little bit south of Charleston. And we don't see a lot of the advanced form of black lung up here, and we see quite a bit more down in the Cabin Creek Clinic, which again is getting close to that geographic area where the identified in the study. In the area around Morgantown, the coal seams are anywhere from 5 to 8 feet high. In the southern coal fields, it's not uncommon for them to be as little as 20 inches high. And so to get the mining equipment in there that can be that requires 32 to 36 inches, they have to take all the time a foot to a foot and a half of sandstone, which generates a lot of silica dust. The more silica dust that's present, the more black lung there is, and the more of the aggressive black lung or complicated pneumoconiosis that you'll see.
So one of the things, Dr. Allen, I think it was you, mentioned in the press release that was sent out, is that the variability of the disease symptoms and the resemblance to other common lung diseases can make it difficult to truly know the numbers of people with black lung disease. Talk to me a little bit about that and about diagnosing black lung in West Virginia.
When we're talking about black lung disease, it covers a range of conditions. So black lung, especially as defined by the federal government, can include any lung disease that arises from exposure to coal dust or coal extraction. So even though people may start with the simple symptoms of I'm a little bit fatigued, I'm short of breath, you know, I have difficulty laying flat at night, I can't catch my breath, you know, it could be from the fact that they worked in coal dust or with coal dust exposure, but it could also be, you know, other medical conditions. There's a lot of other common medical conditions that start that way, and you need to have a good evaluation to determine is it something else like the heart or is it coming from the lung and the workplace exposure.
The final thing that makes it hard for just on the medical side to figure out black lung is that there are some physicians in the coal mining areas who don't ever want to call anything black lung because it generates papers that they need to fill out. And so there's sometimes that doctors will, in their own mind, think it's black lung, but not really want to call it.
What does this report mean for West Virginia? Is there hope in terms of preventing and treating black lung here?
Well, there's certainly lots of room for improvement in the development of disease. I hope that this report serves as a wake-up call both to miners, to mine operators, and to regulatory agencies that this disease is real, it's important, and it is preventable to a great extent.
We know what causes it, and, you know, but treating it, we actually have no treatments for black lung other than perhaps a lung transplant for the most severe cases. So if someone has, you know, disease, it's going to be symptom control. And the big issue is the fact that things may be stable, their breathing may be stable for a while, but then it could get worse. And we can't tell people for sure if, you know, if you've got black lung and changes on your x-ray, is it going to stay that way? Or in 5 or 10 years, is it going to progress and become worse? So that's why this disease is just so difficult to manage, because once you have it, you have it.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, or NIOSH, is providing free black lung exams in four West Virginia towns. NIOSH's mobile occupational safety and health units will be set up in Cerrito in Wayne County, Del Barton in Mingo County, and Mann and Logan in Logan County. The free screenings will be available next week from Monday, March 26th through Friday, March 30th. Visit our website at wvpublic.org for more information. According to a new study, dozens of chemicals that can affect the fertility of humans and animals are being found in the air near unconventional oil and gas development. Brittany Patterson has more.
More than 200 chemicals have been found near unconventionally drilled sites like fracked wells, according to the research. The report's author, Carol Kwiatkowski, explains that of those chemicals, 34 are known to be endocrine disruptors, or chemicals that interfere with hormone systems in mammals.
Well-known hazardous air pollutants are being found near fracking sites and may be contributing to health outcomes that are being experienced by people living near fracking sites. The endocrine disrupting chemicals that are found at these sites may be contributing to health outcomes that won't be realized for decades.
Researchers studied more than 4,000 peer-reviewed papers. Of those, they found 48 air sampling studies were conducted between 2003 and 2016. The researchers say Texas's Barnett Shale Formation was studied the most. The Marcellus Shale Formation in the Ohio Valley was the fourth most studied area. Chemicals known to cause cancer and heavy metals such as mercury were also found near oil and gas development. Researchers say more information is needed to know what the long-term health impacts of these chemicals are. Millions of Americans live near unconventional oil and gas wells. It's important to note that the researchers did not do any original experiments. Rather, they looked only at the already published science. The study also does not draw a direct link between hormone-disrupting chemicals and oil and gas development. Instead, it shows studies indicate that these chemicals are often found near development. The study was published today in the journal Environmental Health. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Rain and snow in the west today. Heavy snow possible in the east. 3 to 6 inches of additional snow possible. Some areas could see more than 8 inches of snow with highs today in the 30s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. By cataract surgeons, Drs. George Strickler and Laser, the IMDs, bringing laser-assisted cataract surgery to West Virginia and the Ohio Valley. Locations in Parkersburg and Marietta, the IMDs.com. And by the Clay Center in Charleston, presenting Kenny G Thursday, March 22nd at 7:30. Tickets and information at theclaycenter.org. During the first few days of the recent teacher strike, Governor Jim Justice told teachers he was working on a plan to get them a 2% raise. Soon after, he traveled around the state to talk with citizens in a series of town hall meetings. It wasn't long after that he announced he wanted to see teachers get a 5% raise instead of 2. Justice credited his change in perspective to a sixth grade student named Gideon Titus Glover, who spoke up at a town hall in Wheeling. Glennis Board met with a 12-year-old to talk about the experience.
Hi, I'm Gideon Titus Glover. And we're at the Valley Grove Community Center.
I want you to walk through and recount the experience of the governor coming up to Wheeling and just that whole sequence of events.
So he was coming up to Wheeling the day before. My mom told me we were going to go to that. And I was kind of like, well, that's cool. The governor's coming. We went there. We got there at 7. He was a whole hour late. And then he came and he just started like saying things that I didn't agree with, like that kind of ticked me off. I decided to get up and say something about it. Sure, it took a little courage to stand up to the mic, but once I got there, it was like, it all just kind of came out.
It took a little courage though?
Uh-huh.
What kind?
I mean, like, just like there's a room full of adults, and I'm like, I don't know if they'd better they'd speak this better than me, but I just decided to go up there and do it.
And when did you decide? When did you decide you were going to say something there at the event or beforehand?
Beforehand, I was like, could I say something to him? My mom was like, well, you better run it through me, whatever you're gonna say, because sometimes I can be a little brash, but. She thought it was okay, so she looked up the numbers on how much was allotted to tourism.
Yes, please.
You proposed to make the tourism budget $20 million per year. You said you would find that, so why can't you find enough? Like, you're finding $5 million for tourism when you own the Greenbrier. That's a conflict of interest.
At what point did you have the gumption to address the governor? I mean, he's a big man. He's kind of intimidating. Did you find him intimidating?
Not at all, because I don't care if someone's in a position of authority. The people are the people that got him there, so we have the right to speak our minds. Then, I think it was like 5 minutes later, he called me back up. It was crazy.
An investment in West Virginia tourism brings in instantaneous money. Instant money that I could help you with. If you throw it away, how smart are you being?
So then he said, if I put $20 million into tourism and then I get $160 million back, you're making $140 million profit.
If you put money in schools, you're making smart people. And if you have smart people, you can make more smart investments.
Very,
very, very,
very, very excellent. And you're a smart man. That's the best point you made. That is a home run point, son. And I'm proud of you for it. That's a real good one. What grade do you answer?
Six.
And even the governor cheered you on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how did that make you feel?
That made me feel good, since I know that he was the one I was trying to persuade, and apparently I did.
There's been a lot of back and forth since then. Do you feel like you played a role in bringing this strike to a resolution?
Yes, I think I did.
And how did that make you feel?
That made me feel great, knowing that I actually did something, I made an impact.
What do you feel the role of young people is in the state when it comes to these big problems that feel like adult problems?
I think the role of children is everything, because children are the future.
And so how can children be involved?
How can children be involved? Speak your mind. I'd say that. Speak your mind and, if you have an idea, try it out.
And what advice directly do you have for other kids in the state?
Do your best.
That was Gideon Titus Glover speaking with Glennis Board about his actions that may have played a key role in bringing the recent teacher walkout to a resolution. Federal funds have been awarded to 4 West Virginia organizations focused on economic development. Liz McCormick has more.
Those 4 agencies include the Region 7 Planning and Development Council, the Planning and Development Councils in both the Eastern Panhandle and the Mid-Ohio Valley, and the Marshall University Research Corporation. The groups will split an award of $310,000. That money comes from the U.S. Department of Commerce's Economic Development Administration. U.S. Senators Joe Manchin and Shelley Moore Capito made the announcement in a news release Tuesday. Both senators agree the grant will help West Virginia create more jobs and invest in infrastructure that could attract new industries to the state. The bulk of the funding will go to the Marshall University Research Corporation and will provide technical assistance and research tools to help increase long-term regional competitiveness and economic diversification. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Martinsburg.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Liz McCormick. I'm Teresa Wills.